Tabernacle Presbyterian Church presents Sunday with Tab. Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, located at 34th and Central in Indianapolis, welcomes you to Sunday with Tab. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, How Do I Know? So join us now from the sanctuary of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church for Sunday with Tab.
I'm the youngest of two children, and my retired parents live near me, and I have the privilege of going over to visit them often, and I always get this greeting, first from my mom, who's saying to my dad, "Honey, our baby is here." And my dad says, "Keva's here? Did she bring us snacks?" And I love that that greeting because it reminds us how excited God is to hear from us every time we come to Him, whether it's in a building like this or at work or at home. God just delights in hearing from us. So in that spirit, let's read the prayer of confession together. Almighty God, You love us, but we do not respond to Your love as we should. Our worship is sporadic, and our discipleship lacks wholehearted commitment. We hear Your call and only give You a sometimes answer. We walk past neighbors in need, wrapped up in our own concerns without recognizing our responsibility to them or to You. Long in order to get along instead of walking in confident obedience to Your calling. Forgive us, Lord, and strengthen us for the journey that we may bring honor and glory to You as faithful followers of Your Son, our Savior, in whose name we now humbly pray. Assurance of pardon from Micah 6:8. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God? Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Affirmation of faith. From the Mission of the Church, Book of Order, PCUSA. The mission of God in Christ gives shape and substance to the life and work of the church. In Christ, the church participates in God's mission for the transformation of creation and humanity by proclaiming to all people the good news of God's love, offering to all people the grace of God at font and table, and calling all people to discipleship in Christ. We have no higher goal than to glorify and enjoy God now and forever, living in covenant fellowship with God and participating in God's mission. Amen. Romans 10, verses 5 through 13. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Our second lesson is taken from 1 John, not the Gospel of John, the first letter of John, the third chapter, beginning at the 16th verse. Again, let's listen to God's word to us. John writes, "We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. Amen." And let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift of the day and pray now that as we sit beneath the teaching of your word, that my words might reflect something of the word that you have given to us, and that your word might instill in us a desire to follow hard after you. This is our heart's desire now and always. Through Christ our Lord, we pray it. Amen. There is an ancient Shinto story about a man who awoke one morning and said, "Last night I had a dream that I became a butterfly, flitting about from flower to flower, and all I cared about was the fancy of a butterfly. And then I awakened, and now I have a problem. Am I a man who dreamed I was a butterfly, or am I a butterfly dreaming I am a man?" It's a curious thought, isn't it? I'll grant you one you've probably never given much thought to, nor would I encourage you to ponder very long after. But there's another question which I feel certain that each of us has asked of ourselves at one point or another. We can frame in much the same way. How do I know? How do I know that I really am a Christian? That I am sufficiently right in my relationship with God? That I am secure in my salvation? Is it because of what I say I believe, or is it because of the way I try to live my life? Do I do the good things that I do because I am a Christian, or am I a Christian because I do the good things that I do? In essence, this is the age-old question of the relationship between our faith and our good works, which at times can send us around in a crazy little circle, kind of like the chicken and the egg or the man and the butterfly. Which comes first for us? My faith, which finds expression then in my good works, or my good works, which are enlightened by my faith? They almost seem inseparable, don't they? It's hard to think of one without the other. They go hand in hand, and yet somehow they are distinct from one another. And so how do I really know? By my words or by my actions? Now let's be clear. This is the kind of question we should ask of ourselves. It's not the kind of question we should be asking about one another. For if we start asking it about one another, then we start putting ourselves in a position of judgment as to their words and their actions, the vitality of their faith. That's not the intention at all. Admittedly, this is a question we ask of ourselves, and perhaps not very often, except in those times of introspection when we wonder if we believe enough, if we believe rightly enough, if we've done enough to act on our faith. If I rely only on my confession of faith, I find great assurance. But then I also realize that my faith is intermingled with all sorts of questions and doubts. If I look at my actions, some good, some not so good, I find myself asking that, again, age-old question: if being a Christian was against the law, would there be enough evidence to convict me? So what's the relationship between faith and works? Is one sufficient without the other? Is one complete in and of itself? How do I know if I have enough of either? Is there anywhere I can go, any place I can go to, anything I can find that will give me some assurance, some satisfaction? And this is the answer that Paul and John both speak of in our scripture lessons this morning. Let's begin with Paul. He writes in his letter to the Romans of his desire that all people might be saved. That is, that all people might come into a right relationship with God. And that not by obedience to the ancient law, but by faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. His concern was that Israel of old had misinterpreted the meaning of the law, the purpose for which the law was given. They came to see it as a means to achieve a standard of goodness rather than a means to grow in their trust and reliance on God. And if they see it as a standard of goodness, then we start measuring as to whether we're in or out or not. They try to earn, if you will, their own salvation, which of course we know is utterly unattainable. We can't reach the perfection that God desires of us. So in order to argue against what we come to call works righteousness, or that sense of needing to earn God's love through our good actions, Paul writes these words. The word is near to you. It's on your lips and in your heart, because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your hearts that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, one confesses with the lips and so is saved. According to this teaching, how do we know that we are in a right relationship with God? All we need do is believe in our hearts and confess with our lips that Jesus is Lord. Friends, that's the profound truth of the Christian faith. This is the good news of the gospel, that our salvation is not anything that we have done, it is what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, a free gift offered to us by God, which we need only accept and trust, which means that there is nothing we can do to make God love us more. And there is nothing we could ever do which would cause God to love us less. Which means that all of our striving to earn or win God's approval or blessing becomes meaningless and ineffective. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, or rather to the Ephesians, will write, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It's a gift of grace, not the result of works, lest anyone should boast." Now, admittedly, as good as that may sound to us, and truly this is the good news, this is often a very difficult message for us to hear and receive, particularly us as American Christians, because we are inbred with this sense of self-reliance. We like to think that we can do things on our own, that we can earn everything that we have, that we can be self-dependent and self-determined. And that's the way it is, for the most part, in the world. But it's not the way it is in the economy of God. It's called grace, because it is given to us even when we don't deserve it, and there's nothing we can do to earn it. John Leith writes, "The witness of faith that God was uniquely present in Jesus Christ, that in Jesus Christ, God wrought our salvation, and that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, is the heart of the Christian faith. To accept this statement as being true, to believe in our hearts that Jesus is Lord, and to confess with our lips that God raised him from the dead is sufficient for our salvation. How do we know? Because this is God's promise to us, clearly stated for us in Scripture. The story is told of a woman who was having trouble understanding this concept of our faith. It seemed too simple, too unreasonable, that all she had to do is say yes to the invitation of God's love. And so she asked her pastor to explain it, and he did so in this way. He asked her, "What's your last name?" "Jones," she answered. "And how long has it been Jones?" "Since my husband and I were married nearly 30 years ago." "And on that day," asked the pastor, "when you were asked, 'Will you take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband?' what did you answer?" "I will," she said. "Well, didn't you say, 'I hope so,' or 'I want to,' or 'I'll try to?" "No," she said. "I said, 'I will.' And on that day, I became his wife." And suddenly she saw where this conversation was going. Friends, all we need do to enter into a right and saving relationship with God is to say yes to his love for us in Jesus Christ. It is to accept that we have been accepted. That's all. There's nothing more. That is the good news of the gospel, which we are invited to hear and receive and believe and put our trust in. That's all. But even as we say that, we realize that there is something more, isn't there? A something that comes after, not before, we say yes to God. Because once we receive this gracious gift, we realize that then we must live it, which is exactly the point that John makes in his writing. We read, "How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's good and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action." That the Christian faith is a way of walking, not just talking. Our words about God's love will ring true only when we put them into action. They'll ring hollow for ourselves and for others if they're not demonstrated in some particular act, a concrete act of helpfulness or love or caring, if in our good works, if you will. Theologian Hans Küng writes, "Faith in an ultimate and radical sense cannot be properly distinguished from love. It is a personal activity directed towards a personal recipient. Faith is never, in the final analysis, a matter of adherence to objects or rules or dogmas. It is the sacrifice and self-giving of one person to another person." Faith cannot properly be distinguished from love, because love is the basis of our faith, God's love for us in Jesus Christ. And when we accept this love and allow it to touch our hearts, something within us changes. It changes within us, and then it lives itself out through us. This love that we have been given is so great that our hearts are not sufficient to contain it, and so it flows out from our lives into the lives of others. And that tangible expression of love to others is the evidence that we have finally understood what God has done for us. Elton Trueblood, who was a religion professor at Earlham College, writes of this when he says, "We cannot, of course, know whether a person is telling the truth when they say, 'I believe,' because belief is intrinsically internal and personal. But the evidence of a changed life is something which other people can observe." The evidence of a changed life. So which is it, our faith or our good works, which gives us the confidence of our right relationship with God? The answer is Yes, both of those. In order for faith to be real, it must find expression in love, tangible demonstrations of kindness and compassion towards others. And in order for those acts of kindness to be expressions of faith, they must be grounded in awareness of God's outpouring of love for us. Faith and works, each dependent upon the other, each giving the other new expression, which is exactly what John writes of when he says, "This is God's commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded." Let me close in a manner very similar to the way I began, with the telling of a dream. This one from African lore. Abu Ben Adam, may his tribe increase, awoke one night from a deep dream of peace and saw within the moonlight of his room an angel writing in a book of gold. Exceeding peace had made Ben Adam bold. Unto the presence in the room he said, "What writest thou?" The vision raised its head and with a look made all of sweet accord said, "The names of those who love the Lord." "And is mine one?" said Abu. "Nay, not so," said the angel. "I pray thee then write me as one who loves his fellow man." The angel wrote and vanished. The next night he appeared with a great awakening light and showed the names that love of God has blessed. And lo, Ben Adam's name led all the rest. Trusting in God and good works, acts of kindness and confessions of the heart. Two sides of the coin that we call faith. These two together answer our "how do I know" question. And that's why this passage makes it onto our list of 50 great passages that we need to know. This passage gives us the Christian assurance. By this we know that God abides in us, by the Spirit he has given us. How do I know? How do I know I'm a Christian? How do I know, despite my questions and doubts and less than good deeds, that I am in a right relationship with God, that my salvation is secured? Because God knows my heart better than I know my heart. And he has given us his Spirit as a guarantee. So do I do the good things I do because I'm a Christian, or am I a Christian because I do the good things that I do? The answer is yes. While either one without the other is incomplete, together they give expression to our faith. And so this promise is sure. If you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your hearts that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And such a glorious promise as this must find expression in our lives, and so let us love, not in word or speech only, but in truth and in action. And this is how we know. Amen. And let us pray. Lord, we who put all of our confidence just in the confession of our faith, may we realize that that faith always needs to find expression in a concrete act of love. And we who think that it is sufficient just to be kind and good need also to be reminded once again that that goodness and kindness comes out of our relationship with you, what you have done for us in Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, remind us this day, in ways simple and clear, what it is you call us to, how it is you call us to live our lives. We pray, O Lord, to be useful in the work of your kingdom through the words that we say, the confessions of our mouths, and also the way we live our lives in acts of kindness. Lord, you have so blessed us. May we in turn be a blessing. We pray it through Christ our Lord. Lord, hear our prayer.
You're listening to Sunday with Tab, a production of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis. We hope you have found inspiration and comfort in today's program. If you would like to listen to today's message again, there are many ways to do so. Subscribe to the Tab podcast on iTunes and other apps, or go to tabpres.org and tap on the graphic marked Sermons. If you prefer a CD copy, call us at 317-923-5458. That's 317-923-5458. Please mention today's date. We invite you to join us for worship this morning at Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. We're located at the corner of 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis. At 8 a.m., we have a communion service in the chapel, and at 10 o'clock, a beautiful worship service in the sanctuary. The 10 o'clock service is also live streamed on our YouTube channel, Tab Indy. For information on the services and streaming, go to tabpres.org. That's tabpres.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next week at the same time for Sunday with Tab.
Why is there church?
Pastor John Gable of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis.
The word church conjures up many images, but at Tab we believe the church is called to demonstrate the values and practices of the kingdom of God. At Tab, we envision a place where people grow strong in faith as they are equipped to serve others, where deep and loving relationships are created, where people work together to strengthen the community, advocate for justice, and promote God's peace and shalom. Oh, we're not there yet, but that is what we desire because we believe that's what God desires for the church, our community, and the world. Come see for yourself or find out more at tabpres.org.
Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis, invites you to worship Sunday morning at 8 or 10 a.m. If you can't make it in person, tune in to Sunday with Tab, Sunday mornings at 6:30 on WIBC, or find us online at tabpres.org.